Okay, I now? Okay, so it's your fault now if you hear stuff you don't want to hear, right? I gave you a chance. So we're finishing the Sermon on the Mount. We've been doing this for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And it's been challenging. It's been exciting. And Jesus closes this segment, these last 5 verses, with the word therefore. And we're oftentimes instructed in Scripture, when you hear the word therefore, you want to ask, what's it there for? But generally, it's summing up thoughts that have preceded this word, this transitional word. And I want to read, you already heard the scripture from Phil, probably in the NIV. I just want to read it for a second in the Message because it's a little more graphic, a little more guttural, a little more earthy. It says this: these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They're foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, or a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible study and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying. Quite a contrast to their religion teachers. This was the best teaching. Like a high graduate today, I wanted to really direct some of this to you, but it's really about all of us. And it frankly doesn't matter if I'm 2, 22, 92, because this thing is a continual challenge. I have to get out of bed, pray and read, not even turn on television. Not about just trying to sleep. It was about war. That was right where he loves to attack. Things that I have no control over and yet are very full in my life right now. And so that is like, because you're consumed with worry. Sometimes because you care. You want to fix the situation. Foundation that you can trust. And that's what we want to look at here today. Not only are these scriptures fitting for you and for me, they're especially fitting for our young and dazzling high school students. That's a very attractive group of young people. Give them a round of applause again if you would. I have a hearty congratulation to all the guys I knew before you were in Mama's basket. And it's been exciting to see you grow up. And it's not working? Okay. The simple part is this. Always remember that Jesus loves you a lot. He loves you more than anyone or anything ever could love you. Sometimes at your age, sometimes at my age, we settle for counterfeits. We settle for secondary solutions for problems that we can't fix. We get into a bad relationship. We get involved with a bad scheme. We convince ourselves that God doesn't really care, and after all, he'll forgive me anyway. And I start this slide that can turn into a toe hold and then an ankle hold, and pretty soon I'm in a stronghold and I don't know how to get out. And even then you have a God who loves you. He doesn't pull away from you when we pull away from him, thank God. But it'll seem like he's really distant because we're the one who move, not him. Tangible love. You know, I want to touch God. I want something I can see and get my hands on. And we miss the manifestation of God's grace and love that he's shown us in the world, in creation, and even in people around you that have poured into you. It would be our prayer that you would let Jesus, in the spirit of our singing today, be numero uno. That's number one in your life. The scriptures say that you will never be disappointed. Romans chapter 10. So, why is this word so important, this relationship so important, especially for you young ones here today? Let me just give you some scriptures of reminder. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. There are a lot of people walking around that have absolutely no joy in life. You see it every day. Eyes down, scuffing along through life. Nothing's changing. Nothing's happening. Young people, remember your Creator in the days of your youth because life will get tough for all of us. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And what Eloy shared is true, not only just for your enjoyment, but to be shared with other people around you. That's what community is all about. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Why do I obey? In a sense, it's a catch-22. It's about obeying my parents, but it's about putting a blessing on my own self. When I cooperate with them as my God figure in my life, God honors that. The theme in each of these verses is kind of trust and obey. Place your hope in the Lord and his word. And it says, basically, when you do that, you can't go wrong. But I don't know about you, but when I heard that word obey, I kind of go, ugh, do I have to? I know you've never said that before, but you know if someone has ever said, do I have to? Well, why does the word of God put so much significance on obey? 1 Samuel 15:22, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Some of us are real sacrificial livers, but apart from obedience, God said it's filthy rags. It doesn't mean anything in the eternal spectrum of things. John 8:31-32, we're good at the second verse. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. But what's the verse that precedes that? If you hold to my teaching or obey your teaching, then you're really my disciple. A true disciple is one who obeys and follows the Lord Jesus and his word. Then you'll know the truth that will set you free. Don't buy the second line without the first one. The first one is the mark of the believer. The second is the product or the result of being a believer. Truth that will set me free. John 14:23, he who loves me will obey my teaching. It's the evidence of my love to him. Is a desire to obey him. John 15:10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in his love and your joy may be made complete. Our obedience fulfills joy and love in my life. Obedience is not perfection. We mess up every single day. But when you do, you return to the one who loves you with an everlasting love. You repent and tell him, I'm sorry, Lord. Help me to move in the right direction. Help me to get a heart for you, to obey you, to follow you. He's more concerned about you than what you do, either good or not so good. You see, when he adopted you into his family, he sealed the deal. You're my child forever. Because of your grace, His grace, His mercy, His unconditional love, well, you'll get nowhere. Some of you will go on and get married. In the best of marriages, we're never perfect. We go through those trials and testings. And God is there saying, I don't love you because of what you do. I love you because of who you are. And you know what? That'll motivate you to want to do what He wants you to do. Romans 6:16, if you say, well, I don't really want to obey. I want to do my own thing. Consider the word here. You are slaves to the one whom you obey. You will obey righteousness or you'll obey evil. There's no such thing as doing your own thing. You're always obeying somebody or something. I can remember being a Christian about 3 years, driving down Bagley Road at Engle Road, and my brakes went out. And I said, oh, baby, this is going to be fun. I had no clue what to do. I pulled into a gas station. I put up the emergency brake, which shot that brake for good, and I kind of hit a pole. And for whatever reason, somewhere in the midst of that journey, God hit me with a thought that I never thought about, is that before you were following me, you were following the evil one. Now, I wasn't a Satan follower. I wasn't like, woohoo, let's wake up and do some good old evil today. But if you're either for him or against him. And I wasn't in him, so I was against him. And even though I had that little accident, I went, hallelujah, I get it now. And people look at me like, this dude's nuts. You're always following somebody. You're always obeying the spirit of God or the spirit of yourself, which can be the spirit of the enemy. So don't get so upset with the word obedience, but ask the Lord to teach you who to obey, who to follow. The Wittenberg Catechism says this, what is the chief end of man? The answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Some of us don't have a clue. Joy God, isn't he the great killjoy in the sky? Man, if I want to enjoy something, it ain't going to be God. Then you think about all he's done for you. R.C. Sproul says this, over time I've come to see the wisdom of the words to enjoy God. They capture the all-encompassing nature of our relationship with God, namely, being chosen by God, called by God, united to God in Christ, justified by God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, adopted by God, sanctified by God, loving God and neighbor to the end that we might glorify God. And although we will not be able to grasp the full meaning of enjoying God until we meet Christ face to face, we can know and experience now in part what it means to enjoy God because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has met us, has dwelt among us, and now dwells within us by the Holy Spirit. Throughout history, our covenant God has graciously dwelt among his people in various ways, and yet we eagerly look forward to that glorious day when God will establish his eternal presence with us in the new heaven and the new earth that we might fully glorify God and enjoy him, coram Deo, because of his covenant love for us. And you start to think about it. Who loves me like this? Who forgives me like this? Who gives me the grace to carry on? Who gives me the breath to breathe? Who wakes me up in the morning? Who sets me down at night? Who provides nature around me? Who puts a belly in my stomach? And pretty soon you start to realize it's not me. It's him. And then when I think about it more, there's days I'll break into tears because I realize I'm not worthy for any of this stuff. And you know what he'll say? You're absolutely right. You're not. But I made you worthy because I called you to be a part of my family. God called you. You didn't call him. And when you think about it that way, that's what this Lord's Supper is a reminder of. He came to us. He called you. He chose you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Some of you guys are going to move on to higher places of academia. You're going to go to the service. Some of you are going to pursue trades, jobs, and life. But remember this. The highest institution of education, of military, of your jobs, may equip you to be a success. But none will train you how to live successfully. I worked for 10 years with the Browns and the Indians. Some of the richest and wealthiest broken people you ever want to see in your life. Because they were trained to be a success, but they had no clue how to handle it when it came their way. And it broke them. And the ones who broke them and turned to Jesus through it would say it was worth it. But many are still out there spinning away, spinning away, spinning away. Because it's not about merely living to be a success, which we all want to be, but how to live successfully. Today's conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount series, Jesus is finishing what some call the grand finale, the fit ending of a body of teaching of unparalleled weight, dignity, and beauty. It's ironically the teaching that will do two things. One, it unveils more hypocrites in the church than they ever knew. Remember, Jesus was talking, part of this, to scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law who had all the head knowledge, all the judgment, but their heart was distant from God. And he was taking them to the heart, and they weren't able to get there. Others were using this teaching to equip them with a radical perspective of what living is all about in an anti-God society, which frankly is why you can make it today. Your hope is not what's in around you. You take what's good and you be thankful. But my hope is in the rock who's not moving anywhere. You remember some of the challenges that Jesus gave us throughout the Sermon on the Mount. You say murder, I say hate. You say adultery, I say lust. You say divorce, I say hard-heartedness. And Jesus goes on. You say revenge, I say submit to my way. You love the lovely, I say love your enemies. Anybody can love those guys. You desire worldly treasure, but I point you to the rewards of the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You judge others, I'm going to judge you. He took them to a deeper level. Impossible living. Try to do it yourself. It is absolutely impossible. But the good news is God's not asking you to do it himself. He's asking you to allow him to do it through you as he transforms your mind and your heart to become truly Jesus' people, Jesus' followers, his ambassadors. Why does he do that? Because you are his beloved, young people. Remember that always. God loves you. He calls you his beloved. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Why is that so important? You know, the chances of us reaching young people are really slim and none. They don't want to hang around old fogies like Eloy anymore. I won't even put myself in a category. But when they see somebody their own age running through the same stuff that y'all relate to. Now, you'd be cool. Thursday night, I was at the game, thanks to my brother here. Man, I watched 20 minutes outside of Ludacris. I thought it was pretty ludicrous, actually. I didn't know. But I can't relate fully to that world. You can. And you can walk a different way, not uppity, humble, but filled with love and filled with a purpose that God wants to put in your heart, all of us here. So we can be victors as we walk through this crazy land we live in. Don't embrace this land, people. You're aliens to this land. You're aliens passing through. Anything else becomes idolatry. God has made you a citizenship of his, of heaven, of the kingdom. And you will walk different. You will love different. You will forgive quickly. You will seek community. You will have purpose and meaning. You will have a place to dump your stuff at the foot of the altar where he can say what he told me today, Joe, give me your burden. Your burden is heavy. My burden is light. And I gave it to him like this, shaking. But I couldn't carry it anymore. And if you're heavy here today, Camelia, God bless you. We prayed for you earlier. If you're heavy today, there's nothing righteous about carrying it yourself and being stoic. That's a fool, the Bible says. And that's what the teaching that Jesus is leading to is concluding with. What does he say? Everyone who hears. It doesn't say some who hear or some who don't hear. Everybody hears. Today, everybody hears. The issue isn't even hearing. The issue is, what do you do with what you hear? Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So much looks alike on the surface. There's two builders. One is wise, he hears and practices God's word. The other one he calls a fool. Now, I looked up the word fool because I'm going to be a fool enough to put that on you without saying, here's what the word of God says about it. Dull, stupid, blockhead, absurd, stupid. It's just a mental acknowledgement. If you're not in faith yet, that's okay. Keep seeking. We want to be a church that attracts you to put your faith in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Psalm 14:1 says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. If you're an atheist, God bless you. If you're a real atheist. But answer the same questions I have to answer. What do you trust? What do you put faith in? What happens to you after you die? Where did you come from? Where did this come from? Science is great, but give me good answers, and we'll talk. Everything takes faith, whether it's in God or something else. But you put your trust in something. The other foundation here is one of sand, a sediment. It's shifting. And it's unstable. And the two houses represent your life. What are you going to build your life upon? Rock or sand? Stable or shifting? Here today, gone tomorrow, or something I can bank on even when I'm struggling? Knowing somebody's not going away, who will never leave me or forsake me. Why is that so important? Because the Bible reminds us here that the storms of life are no respecter of person. Consider just the last 3 weeks. It started off with baby Romaine. You know what it's like? Ladies, you know what it's like. 9 months of anticipation for a child, and now you give birth to a child who's now 50 days in ICU and hasn't been home yet. There's hope, but you think that was predicted or projected? And then here's our dear doctor getting ready to finish up his residency because July 1 he starts a fellowship in Cincinnati as a trauma surgeon, gets hit by a car on his bike riding home from work, and now was in the same unit he works in being operated on by his fellow trauma surgeons. You think that was in his plans? And dear Camelia, you think it was in his plans that 2 Sundays ago, Jamilion would have a headache that would lead to glory? 17 years old? And we miss these things all around us because somewhere along the way we say, well, that'll never happen to me. And I certainly hope not. But there's proof all around us that life is crazy and unexpected. And I better have something I can hang on to through it all. Through it all. In Jewish days, the streams from Galilee would rush down the hills into the flatlands. Often there were torrents of rain, winds during the winter and early spring, and would overflow the banks and leave beds of alluvial deposit on each side. And then it would settle into the ground, and then when the summer heat comes, it dries up the water and leaves a tract of land covered with either stone or sand. A stranger walks by who wants to build, and he looks at the sand and he says, oh, this looks like a better choice. I won't have to move the rocks. It's all set and ready for me to go. This one says, not only are the rocks good, I'm going to throw a few more in there because I'm going to build on a foundation that can't move when these storms come. Well, this guy does his thing. He puts up a beautiful house. But unfortunately, it's not equipped to withstand the pounding of the storms of life. Down comes the house, labeled with a sense of pride, self-fulfillment, and I can make it on my own mentality. And if you don't think this thing is true, I've been out to California during the landslides and the earthquakes and seen beautiful homes just come crashing down, neighborhoods destroyed by fire. That just didn't have a chance. But you would have stood back and say, that's my dream home. Because I didn't know what the foundation underneath it all looked like. The rocky ground strongly grips the earth below and provides a refuge, a shelter, a secure foundation to encounter life's pressures. And here the rock represents Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 says, he's the foundation of the wise man who builds upon his foundation. And when you do that, he says in 1 Corinthians 3, you're going to have heavenly awards waiting for you because your work is like gold and silver and precious stones, not wood, hay, and stubble that will burn and be gone. What do I do when I struggle? The wise person is the one who first recognizes his need for a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he goes off path, he repents to the Lord and tells him, I need you, forgive me, and give me the strength and grace to follow you. Is it a life of discipline? Another word we hate. The answer is yes. Bible reading, worship, prayer, community service, community to name a few. But hear this well. Jesus isn't interested in vain lists of discipline. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your desire to seek after him. He's attentive to those who want to get pulled out of the muck and mire of life and cry out to him and say, Lord, help me. Help me to hear your word and give me the grace to follow it. The Bible says here, to many in this crowd, the words were amazing because they were spoken with an authority that no one else spoke with. It reminded me of Mark chapter 2 when Jesus was preaching in that home and it was standing room only. And four homies brought their buddy on a mat because he was paralyzed. He needed healing. He needed a touch. And they couldn't get in the door. And they lowered him through the roof. Right in front of Jesus. And he said, your sins are forgiven. Well, the scribes and Pharisees are thinking, who is this guy? Only God can forgive sins. And I imagine Jesus was saying, yep, you're right. And I'm God. But he said, in order to show you that I'm God, in the name of Jesus, get up. And they said they were amazed at the authority he spoke in. As you move on in life, remember this. Scrant Road did our best, not perfectly, to pour his love into you. And that doesn't stop. Wherever you go, you're lifelong members of this place. We won't send you tithes and offerings, I promise. But you're always welcome here. But even more than you being welcome here, wherever life's path takes you, the one who hung on Calvary's cross for you goes with you. Don't forget that. Remember your Creator in your youth before the times of evil days come and try to choke God out of you. And that's for us too. That's for us too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for this day. And we are just absolutely grateful for the ministry you allowed us to do in and through this corner. And especially today and every day for our young people. We're reminded again by the events of this past week. Help us not to miss any child that comes through this place. Give us your peace, I pray. Give us a renewed desire to hear your word and to follow it. In the name of Jesus, Father, even as we participate in the Lord's Supper in a few moments, make your relationship with us very fresh, very desiring, and very following to your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we prepare